been talking this morning about how to rejoice in your youth. We sang some songs that were very appropriate with that, and I appreciate that. And as I think about these things, and I want the young people to know, I am not in any way saying that there are not difficulties. I'm not in any way saying just, you know, lay those challenges aside, they're not there. What I am telling you is that not only will they exist then, but as has already been pointed out, they'll exist throughout your life. How you learn to deal with them now is certainly going to help you in the future. So learn now how to deal with them. And the Bible certainly gives us lots of information on how to deal with the challenges of this life. And also when I was talking about the body and how the people, the self-image that they have and what they want to be. One of the things that I didn't mean to just say on one side of it, there are also young people who will actually starve themselves to death, who will not take care of their bodies because of their image of themselves. And sometimes with that, you know what? You're not going to have that perfectly sculptured body. It's just going to happen, and it's one of those things where we just take care of what we do have, and we learn that that's what we live with. So we talked about these 10 things that Top 10's website had used, and you can go on and you'll find that most of those things are things that are listed within our country in particular, and that's, of course, the young people I'm talking to are in this country. So how do we rejoice in this? And we talked about this from Ecclesiastes 11, 7-10, in which he says that although you might look at life and it's going to have its bad moments and you'll look back at those, and we do. We look back at bad things that happen in our life, and our tendency is a lot of times we talk about those things and we move on. But we see in this, he says, that's emptiness, you know. We just should rejoice in your youth. And to me, that's such a strong statement. Enjoy it. God didn't put you here not to enjoy it, so what will rejoice in? Well, the first thing is life. When we think of life itself, it just seems, well, I'm alive. So I'm going to just pick on Katie Starnes. I could pick on anyone in this room, but I'm going to pick on her. God gave her life. Now, she didn't ask to be born into the Starnes family. She'd had her choice. She probably would have gone another route, but that's regardless of that. She was born into that family, and so as a result became a Starnes. And they determined her name. And they determined some things about her, but you know what they didn't determine? Who she is. When she was born, even while in the womb, while Rachel was carrying her, she was unique. Before her, there was never another Katie Starnes. After her, there'll never be another one. She is unique in all aspects. No one ever looked identical to her. No one has ever had the mental ability that she has. No one has ever had any of the things that she has. I could do that with Lily. I could do it with anyone in this room. It's not a problem. Because life is so unique. Think about it for a moment. Rejoice in that. There I am, unique. No one will ever be like me again. I don't care then what peer pressure is put on me. I am me. And God gave me that. In Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9, you know, we think about this and we think about the uniqueness of each one of us and how God blessed us with that uniqueness. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. It is true that each one of us has to rejoice in our own life. We can't rejoice in another's. It is my life that I live, and as close as I am to some people, I can't. I can rejoice with them, but I can't rejoice in my... I can only rejoice in my own. In the 139th Psalm, you know, I think of this passage frequently, and it's such a beautiful thing that if we just think about, for a moment, Katie, for you have formed my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And how can you not look at her and know that? Look at the rest of them. I mean, like I said, I can look at all the young people here, and I appreciate all of you. I just thought I'd pick on her today, because I do this a lot in class. And when you think about this, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. In your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Oh, what a thought. personally, each one of us is that way. Rejoice in it. And laugh. I mean, I love to laugh. Life is serious. But boy, it's to be enjoyed. It's not one of those where we go around looking like we are so sad that God ever brought us into this world. Put a smile on our face. There is a time to laugh. In Proverbs 15:13, he talks about the fact that we should have this merry heart. We should have a heart that will give us a cheerful countenance. Don't you just love people that you see, and the first thing you think of when you see that person is, wow, they always have a smile on their face. I'm looking around, and they always have... I'm trying here. Thank you. I'm going to tell you why. When I was growing up, there's no way in the world I loved my parents like I should have. No way. I love them so much today, it is unbelievable. You know why I love them? It's not because I look back and think, wow, you know, when they gave me that Corvette, that was my... They never gave me a Corvette. If they had, it would have been a model, and they couldn't even afford that, so I didn't even get that. And that's okay, because I tell you what they gave me, it's priceless. They chasten me constantly. Hebrews 5, or 12, 5 through 11, the Lord chastens those He loves. You know what my dad said to me? Now this was not just chastening, this was just pure out punishment. But you know what he had me to say to him when he got through? Why did I do that, Corky? It's because you love me. I had to tell him that. That wasn't pleasant when I was growing up. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'll tell you what's happened to us. We chasten no more. We're afraid of chastening. And yet, Hebrews 11 is full of people who were chastened. Oh, no, that wasn't punishment. That was just causing them to do what was right. It was building them up. It was making them stronger when Abraham had to do what he did. When Noah did what he did. When Sarah did what she did. When Rahab did what she did. That was for their good. What's happened to us that we think, okay, if I just give them more, it'll work. No. Love your parents. When they're telling you, you will not do that, you know why they're telling you that? Because they love you. And you know what? If they don't tell you, they don't love you. If your parents let you do anything you want, they don't love you. Love says, just like God said, I will chasten you. I will make you better. Not punishment. Chasten. And think about this. The amazing abilities. Again, we'll pick on Kate. Amazing. She has abilities that I don't have. It is amazing what she's capable of doing. Think about that for a moment. And I can do it with any of you young people. Look at yourself. It is amazing what you've been given. What I don't have, no. I'll tell you what you have is what God gave you. In Exodus 35, He talks about some of those abilities that He gave people. And he was getting ready to build the tabernacle. And one of the things He talks about was He picked them out. You know why He picked them out? Because He knew who He gave it to. They didn't just originate that. Whatever abilities you have, they're God-given. You're not going to have what someone else has. You're going to have your own. And that you must use. And that's what He said. He said, pick this man. He's been filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship. And design artistic works to work in gold or silver and bronze. And cutting jewels for setting. And carving wood and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. That's amazing ability right there. I wasn't given that one. That man was. Just like everyone in this room was. You young people, you were given amazing abilities. Amazing beyond belief. Yours will never be like anyone else's. Yours is yours. Rejoice in that. And think, what a wonderful thing that God loved me so much that He made mine personal to me. And think about this. You have a Father in heaven. I don't care how many times our parents may have let us down or how many times as parents we let our children down, but we have a Father who will never let us down. He'll always be there for us. We should always understand that. We should always realize that He will always be there. He's the one brought us into this life. But we have to seek Him out. He said, "You will show me the path of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forever." And that's only because of Him. His type of pleasures are real. His type of pleasures are eternal. They're not temporary. They're forever. And your food and your clothing and a place to go live. How many times have you said, "This is not enough. My parents didn't provide enough for me. I don't have enough." I'll tell you what. If you have food and clothing, be content. There's a lot of people in this world who don't have that. There's a lot of people in this world who don't have things. There's a lot of people in this world who don't have parents to help them. They don't have and seek out a Heavenly Father. They don't have food and clothing and a place to go. We should be thankful and we should use it properly. And rejoice in your godly friends. I'm going to tell you something. There's no better blessing in my life than my godly friends. Many of you here today, I have them throughout the world. I am thankful for the ones that are here. You're my friends. You're godly. You're trying to keep me correct and proper and right. You seek out what's good for me. You try to correct me in the things that I do that are wrong. You try to help me in my life. And I appreciate that. That's what we're here for. And that's Proverbs 17. You know, we think about our friends, you young people. If you have a friend who's trying to get you to do what's right, don't ever, ever make fun of that person. Don't ever put them down. Don't ever think that they're less than nothing. They are your best friend in this life. The ones that aren't your friends are the ones that try to get you to do things that are wrong. But the ones that try to help you, that's your true friends. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In Proverbs 27, verse 6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Let me tell you what, when your friend wounds you, when your friend comes up, I think what he's trying to say in this is, it's for your good. On the other hand, the person that is your enemy will do damage to you. Be thankful you live in a free country. There's a lot of people in this world don't. We are not thankful enough that God blessed us to live here. I'll say this over and over. I am not happy with some of the things that our government does. And if I'd have been born 100 years ago, I wouldn't have been happy with some of the things this government does. And if I'd have been born 200 years ago, I wouldn't have been happy with some of the things this government does. Because I knew that it would violate God's law. That's why. It has nothing to do with me. It's not because I'm so smart. It's because government will never, ever do completely what God wants them to do. But I'll tell you one thing we do have here. You don't have to concern yourself at this point of them coming and beheading you, even though there's some concerns about some things that will happen in this country. Be thankful, young people. You could be living in a lot harder circumstances. Recently, all those young girls, like 300 of them, taken by a group of men. It's horrifying when we look at that and look at our life. Be thankful. Be thankful that you are able to serve others. Be thankful that you can be there and do things for other people. That it is a life of service and you understand that. That Christ understood that, the greatest servant of all, Mark 10:45. And that indeed, we need to understand that to do for others is the highest thing we can do. That it is our lives that need to serve as an example of service, because our Master was the greatest servant of all. "But you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And as Paul said in Acts 20, verse 35, quoting something we don't see any other place, he said, "It is more blessed," as the Lord had said, he said, "It is more blessed to give than receive." And the Lord just didn't say that. He lived that. What a blessing. So this is some things that you can rejoice in. Your unique life, your laughter, that's fun. I mean, it is good to enjoy life. The love of your parents. The amazing abilities you have. You have a Father in heaven who cares for you, not in any order here. You have food, clothing, and a home. You have godly friends. Everyone in this room has godly friends. Be thankful for them. A free country and service that you're able to do. But I want to talk about something that's important to all of us. You know why you start all of this? You're not going to be young physically forever. I'm proof of it. Look at me. I mean, is this what you want to be like in a few years? Well, you will be. Well, not exactly like this. Think about it for a moment. This is what happens to us. So you know what? I realized very early on I need something better than this. So I looked for something beyond this life because I realized I was not going to be eternally young here. People have sought it in this life. They've looked for that fountain of youth. They've looked for all the magical things that could make them live a little bit longer. And they had it. It's not magical. It was done for them. Our Lord and Savior did it for them. He made us eternally young if we choose to be. In 2 Corinthians 4, that should be 5, it is, 1 through 6. Here's what happens to us. I don't care how young you are right now and how healthy you are, at some point in the future, things start to happen. And you may be very healthy most of your life, but there's going to come a time when it's going to end. That's it. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we are in this tent groaned, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up in life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. You want to be prepared to live forever? This is what you do. You look to God. You look to God where earthly things don't matter. God doesn't need those things. He created all of these physical things for us, and one of these days all the physical things are going to be gone. And if I leave this life before time ends, they'll be gone for me. I'll be put in a place, and I will take nothing with me other than my soul will leave me and my spirit will leave me. And so, how much emphasis did I put on that? Well, he said, don't put a lot on it. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. For moth and rust do corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And check yourself, young people. You know how you can check where your treasure is? What's your thought process right now? Is it, what can I accomplish in the next 10 minutes, the next month, the next year? Or is it, what am I going to do with my life so that I can have life eternal? It is incorruptible, as he pointed out, where moth and rust is not corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. It will not go away. It does not rot. It does not go away. It's undefiled. That is, there's nothing bad there at all. In 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To do what? To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So, check yourself at the door, Abe. Which one would you rather have? $1 trillion here or life eternal? Which one's going to last forever? $1 trillion or life eternal? It's a better and enduring possession, as he talks about in Hebrews 10. It is so amazing what he has prepared for us that we can't understand it. We try in our minds, but there's no way. Because I live in a physical world. I do not understand. But he's trying to get across to me how precious this is and how much better it is and how it's enduring, how it will last. Hebrews 10, starting with verse 32. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves. And some have added this, but it is in heaven, where there's no peer pressure. I'm not going to get to my dwelling place with a glorified body that lasts forever and have to concern myself with someone coming up and trying to talk me into going and doing something wrong. There's no peer pressure anymore. It's all gone. Galatians 3:27 and 28, it should have ended here. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, neither male nor female. None of us should be pressuring each other, but we've all been baptized into this one body. In Revelation 7, as we look at this great scene, we can see that he says, "Who are these that are arrayed in white clothes, and where did they come from?" And I said unto him, "Sir, you know." And he said unto me, "These are they that have come out of great tribulation, washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they are before the throne of God and worship Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them or any heat. For the Lamb, who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them in the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." And where does that start? Here. If I want a white robe, where does it start? Here. I can't wait to get there and hope that I'm going to get salvation. I have to understand I want to be eternally young. I want to be in a place where there is everybody is equal. Everyone has salvation. There is no big I's and little U's. There's nothing will happen at all. I live with a bunch of people who are a bunch. I live with the saved. Evil's not present there. 1 Corinthians 15, we find that flesh and blood can't enter there. There will be no flesh and blood. There will be no nothing. When we look at this and we think about it, 52 on down, he says, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, "then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" The sting of death is sin. Sin won't be there. There will be no sin. Revelation 12, he completely threw Satan out. Would not let him come before him anymore to accuse the brethren. And it is everlasting in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's a body that does not decay. It's incorruptible and undefiled. Where earthly things do not matter. A better and enduring possession. No peer pressure. Evil is not present. It is everlasting. What a wonderful thought. That when I go back now to Ecclesiastes 12 and I look at that, and it summarizes getting older, and all the problems that occur, and how we're afraid of heights, and our sight is not the way it used to be, and how the bodily functions aren't working like they should. And then one day they don't work at all. Doesn't matter. That's a wonderful thing now. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, Hades, where's your victory? I'm going to tell you right now, the victory for you young people is live like you want to live eternally. Today. Start it. If a young person or any person wants to be happy, Kyle said it, they must be like our Lord and Savior. All the challenges, all the trials, all the tribulations, He went through them perfectly. But even before all that started, as Kyle pointed out, it was when he was young it started. Satan went after him. Tried to have him killed. We don't know what happened throughout the rest of his life, but we do have a glimpse when he was 12, which he said, "I must be about my Father's business." Today is the day to be about your Father's business, because He is your Father. Whether you want to accept it or not, He is. If you want to rejoice, if we want to be happy, we have to remember that service is so important. It is more blessed to give than receive. What a blessing it is to give of our time, to give of our efforts, to give of our life to God. Willing to give of that time, energy, and ability and resources, God who gave it to us in the first place. The reward is way beyond anything we could possibly comprehend. It can't be described. The Bible clearly says it cannot be described. In 1 Corinthians 2, it's just not describable to human mind what we will get. So everything that you've ever wanted that is good and proper, that's what you receive. And I don't understand that. We will receive freely His gifts if we obey Him. You will never, ever be given a gift like you received when you were immersed in water for the remission of your sins. The greatest gift of all was the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that made our obedience forgive us of all our sins so that those sins would be remembered against us no more. You want a great gift? You want something that's worth more than all the wealth in the world? Become a Christian. That's the greatest gift of all. And it comes strictly from God. It is still His grace and mercy and love that gives it to us. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?